Right. In our not practical Christian living, that's a different series. Our personal evangelism series, we continue on, and we're kind of closing in, I suppose, on this series. But we've covered in the beginning of this series reasons for personal evangelism, and we discussed also the concepts that we need to that can enable us or help us to be an effective witness for the Lord, concepts of personal evangelism. And tonight, and probably tomorrow, or next week, excuse me, I want to, just for the next couple of weeks, I want to start talking about the process in personal evangelism, and we'll wrap this series up probably with some illustrations of from the Word of God of all the things that we've been learning about. But I want to introduce this idea, the process of personal evangelism, with this. Personal evangelism is an interaction between at least three persons. One being evangelized, the one being evangelized, the soul winner, and also the Holy Spirit of God. That is the interaction between those three persons in personal evangelism. And each one of those plays a vital and a necessary part in the process of a sinner coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also understand, though, that salvation is all a supernatural work of God. It's not of our own doing. It's not the work of our hands. And yet, there is a human side to it. God has ordained it to be so. And salvation is not complex. It's not complicated. But there are, however, some necessary elements in the process of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And for a sinner to be saved, we know that there has to be a sowing of the seed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there has to be the Word of God, the seed being sown. There also has to be a hearing of the Word. There has to be definite conviction from the Holy Spirit of God on the part of the individual. There needs to be repentance and faith on the part of the sinner. And then there needs to be regeneration that the Lord does. All of those things are necessary. Those are what genuine salvation is all about. And I wonder, and I think it's probably true, in today's Christianity, many of those elements are non-existent. They've missed the mark in evangelism and in Christianity today. Sometimes, you know, there might be a bit of a sowing, but it doesn't lead to any kind of conviction, and maybe people play the part of the Holy Spirit and push for a profession, etc., and the result is a whole lot of false professions, a whole lot of cultural Christianity, a whole lot of shallowness. And so I want us to look at this process of personal evangelism. And like I said, there needs to be sowing of the seed. There needs to be a hearing of the Word. There needs to be conviction over sin from the Holy Spirit of God. There needs to be repentance and faith. And I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on repentance probably next week, and just discussing what it is, what it means, what it looks like, and how the Word of God is very, very clear that repentance is required in order for somebody to be saved. And so we'll spend quite a bit of time on that. And I want us to look at all of these ingredients, if you will, that are essential to the process of leading a soul to Christ. We won't cover them all tonight. We're going to, Lord willing, we'll get through the first two, sowing and hearing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us understanding. Father, guide my thoughts as well, and teach us from your Word tonight. Help us, Lord, to be effective, fruitful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, enable us and equip us through the Spirit of God, through knowledge of the Word of God. And Father, I pray that you just bless your people as they sow the seed of the Word of God, and as they have contact with co-workers and friends and family, people that they meet, and on a regular basis. Father, I just pray that you bless their witness. And Father, give us a harvest of souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first step in the process that we're of personal evangelism here is sowing the seed. The first step is sowing the seed. Sowing the seed is definitely, most definitely, the responsibility of the saint of God, the Christian. We've talked about this in the very beginning. The primary function and purpose of a New Testament church is to preach the gospel, to give the gospel. That is accomplished through the individual members of a church. Sowing the seed is the responsibility of the Christian. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." We're commanded to preach the word. That's the responsibility of the saint of God. The Lord's part is to do with it as he pleases. We preach, we sow the seed. It's the Lord's job to do with it as he pleases. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but note this, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." It's God's job and God's responsibility to do with it as he pleases. It's our job simply to sow the seed. Now, you might say, "Well, I already know that, Pastor." Well, that is true. You do know that, and I know that. The question is, do we apply it? And how much do we apply it? How many gospel tracts have you handed out this week attempting to sow the seed? It's a challenge for all of us to be reminded of, saint of God. We say we know these truths. Well, then we're responsible to apply these truths. It's the job of the Christian to sow the seed. But note this. God said that it was his responsibility. His word will accomplish that which he pleases and that which he has sent it forth to accomplish. And so my point is, and the application that I could make out of this, is, you know what, we might feel intimidated. We might feel like, oh, you know, it won't do any good to give somebody a tract because they'll just probably throw it aside, etc. They won't read it, whatever. But that's not our job to make that determination. Our job is to hand the gospel tract out, to sow that seed, take any opportunity that we can, and then let God do with it as he pleases from there. Are you with me? With me tonight? How motivated, maybe motivated is not the word I need, but I mean, how committed are you to sowing the seed? You need to ask yourself the question, and you need to examine your own heart. And the real practical application is, what have I done even this week to be sowing the seed of the Word of God? There needs to be a sowing. What is the seed exactly? Well, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Just hold your place here. We'll get back to this in a little bit here. But in Matthew 13, we find the parable of the sower. We find it also in Mark chapter 4, in Luke chapter 8. But and we'll look at this in a little bit. But Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says that seed is the word of God. All right? So we're talking about there needs to be a sowing of the seed. The seed is the word of God. Now, there's a whole lot in the Word of God. And so more specifically, when we find that the seed is the Word of God, more specifically, it is the Word of the Kingdom of God, meaning that it's the message of the new birth. It's the message of the only way to enter into the Kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the Kingdom of God." In essence, the seed is the Word of God, but more specifically, it is the gospel. Hold your place here, but look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Here we have the seed, the incorruptible seed is the word of God, and he says, the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. And so, what is the seed? Well, it's the word of God, but it's specifically the gospel that needs to be sown. How is that seed sown? Well, the Bible tells us, first of all, that the seed must be disseminated. Haggai chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Is the seed yet in the barn?" There's only one purpose for seed. What is the purpose of seed? It's to be sown. It's to be planted. Seed that is kept in storage is no good. Seed that is kept in storage will accomplish nothing. Seed is meant to be sown. And the gospel, my friend, is not meant to stay within the walls of the church. The gospel is meant to go into all the world. It needs to be disseminated, but it also needs to be sown everywhere. The seed, how is it to be sown? It must be sown everywhere. Isaiah 32 and verse 20 says, "Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters." In the parable of the sower, we find that the seed fell on four types of ground, right? It fell by the wayside, it fell on stony ground, it fell among thorns, and it fell on the good ground. Where in that do we find that it was the sower's job to determine where to put that seed? We don't. We find that it was the sower's job to scatter the seed, to spread the seed. And it fell on stony ground, and some fell on the wayside, and some fell among thorns, but some fell among good ground. The sower's task is to sow and scatter the seed, not to decide which ground to sow on by sizing people up, whether or not they're going to receive what I have to say. All right? Are you with me here? In Acts chapter 8, in verse 4, the scattered members of the church at Jerusalem went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. It needs to be sown everywhere. It also needs to be sown in all conditions. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper." The Word of God tells us, listen, we don't understand the ways of God. We don't understand all that God can do. And so the point is, God can do as He pleases, and it's God's business to do with His Word as He pleases. All we need to do is just sow the seed. My wife handed out some gospel tracts this week to a lady over at Century Hardware who seemed to be having a rough day, and she just had an opportunity to hand her a gospel tract. We don't know what God will do with that, but we pray for it, that the Lord would accomplish His purpose in it. Not that long ago, a few weeks ago, my wife and I were out. We were in Fairbanks, and we were running some errand, doing something. I ended up stopping in at a gas station for a second. And when I came out, this woman was talking with my wife. And so I joined the conversation, and here this lady is from Valdez, and she's got two teenage kids with her in her vehicle, and her oldest son took off and ran away. And she was just beside herself about what was going to happen to him and where he was, and just the whole, it was just her life, you could tell, was just a mess. It was a wreck. She'd lived a wicked life, you could tell. She was a single mom, and she's got a few kids, and she's just trying to keep things together. And all of it certainly is a result of sin in her life. And we gave her a gospel tract, and I tried to help her as much as I could. There wasn't really much I could do except for give her the Word of God. It's really sad to see people who've ruined their life because of sin. And we've got the answer that they need. We just need to give to them. We just need to sow the seed and have compassion on their soul. I don't know where this lady is. I don't know if she went back to Valdez. I don't know what the... I figured we probably would never see her again. But I made sure that she had my phone number. I made sure she had my email address. I made sure that she had the gospel in her hand. We just pray that the Lord uses it somehow in her life. It's got to be sown. And it's got to be sown in all conditions. The Word of God is to be preached in season and out of season all the time. But it also needs to be sown with compassion. Psalm 126:5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." You know what? It's not just a bunch of words that we have to say to people. What really makes the difference is love for their soul, at least as far as our motivation goes. The Word of God and the seed makes the difference. The gospel makes the difference for them. But our motivation comes from compassion and love for their soul. It needs to be sown with compassion, but it also needs to be complemented. And what I mean by that, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." I think there's a disconnect in Christianity today because most of the time, what you find is that somebody might sow the gospel or be a voice of a witness or something or you know, stand at their door and lead them in a profession, and then on they go about their life. It's not often enough to simply give somebody the gospel and move on. Sometimes that's all we have, and there's nothing we can do about that. But if there's opportunity, the sower can do more. There's a whole lot of investment on the part of the sower that can go into somebody's life. That's why we should seek ongoing relationships and be willing to give much time to people and much sacrifice to people to be able to help prepare the ground, if you will. A sower can prepare the ground in the first place with an individual. It's done by creating a spiritual appetite or spiritual interest or in spiritual matters. That's what Jesus did in John chapter 4. With the woman at the well. John 4, verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Not only can we help prepare the ground, but the sower can cultivate the ground once the seed is sown. Remember that Satan will try to snatch the seed away once it's planted in somebody's heart. But we can have an impact in helping with a successful harvest. At least it can be enhanced through continual contact. We've talked about how Noah in Lebanon, he really desires to be inside it and have a place there. Why? Because when he goes and sows the seed and then he's gone for another month or whatever at a time, he loses those contacts. It's far better to be able to have a permanent presence in somebody's life. Are you with me on this? That's why these one-on-one contacts, continually investing into somebody's life, is able to make a difference in cultivating that ground. How do we do that? Well, through reasoning, number one. Look with me in Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul did this. Acts chapter 18. Look at verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. The word reason here is a Greek word that means to dialogue. And so we find that every Sabbath he reasoned there. And not only that, but the Bible says that he persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. The word persuade means to convince, but by biblical argument. Look at verse 28 of Acts chapter 18. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Look back at verse 5 of this chapter. So here we find that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. He persuaded or convinced the Jews with biblical argument. In verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That word testify there holds with it or carries with it the meaning of telling about that which is personally known. And so he reasoned or had dialogue every Sabbath. He persuaded and convinced with biblical argument, and he testified of that which he personally knew. All of those things are things that we can do with a lost person to help cultivate the ground. It takes time, though. It takes investment. And then we can water. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Part of that watering process mixed in with that is prayer. Prayer for a soul. Prayer is so important because it expresses our dependence upon God to accomplish that miracle of life. No one can be saved without the sowing of the good seed of the gospel. That has to come first. But then there's a hearing. Hearing the word. These are steps in the process of someone coming to know the Lord. The sowing of the word. The hearing of the word. Hearing the word of God is an essential element in a person's salvation. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ephesians 1:3 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What is hearing? Is it just listening as someone tells you some truth about God's word? No, hearing is far more than just auditory. Hearing the word of God means that the word of God or the gospel needs to pass beyond just the senses into the heart. It means to understand, is essentially what it means. Faith comes by hearing, understanding the word of God. Look back in Matthew with me. I told you to hold your place there, and it was a little while before we got there. But look in Matthew 13. The words of the gospel needs to pass beyond just the senses and enter into the heart of the sinner. And in Matthew 13, beginning in verse 13, we're going to see various ways that men hear the gospel truth. And in the parable of the sower here, we learn that men can hear the word of God in several different ways. The gospel, first of all, can be heard momentarily. Look at verse 19, Matthew 13, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So here verse 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, that is when the wicked one comes and snatches away the seed. And Jesus says, this is he which receives seed by the wayside. Here's somebody who hears it momentarily. In other words, it basically describes somebody who is disinterested in the gospel. It's a disinterested response. Sort of like, you know, when you go to a door and maybe on Great Commission Day and you introduce yourself and you say, I'd like to give you a gospel tract. I'd like to share with you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No, that's good. I'm good. I've got my religion. And boom, they shut the door. That's sort of somebody who shows a disinterested response in the gospel. It could be in other ways as well. But they have a moment where they are introduced to truth, but they're not interested. That seed that is received by the wayside. Not only can people hear the gospel momentarily, but they can also hear it superficially. Look at verse 20. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that heareth the words. Here it is, he's hearing the word again. And anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Here's one that it describes an emotional response to the gospel. Here's one who hears the word, the Bible says, and he's received it with joy. It's almost like, oh, yes, yes, this is exactly what I've been looking for. And they start to, you know, take off for a little while. And yeah, I love this truth and I want to hear it. I want to soak it up and so on. But there's no root there. There's not really good ground there. And so initially they receive it and they soak it in. But note what the Bible says. He dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. In other words, when the demands of God's word are made very clear and it starts to create conflict in that individual's life, they drift away because they were never really committed to obey to begin with. And that's somebody who hears it superficially. You know, maybe you see them in church for a while. And maybe they seem to really be latching on and really be absorbing, and this is great and so on. But when the demands of the word start to create conflict in their life, all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, whoa. That's superficial because there was never any root. These are various ways that people hear the gospel truth. Look at verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This describes a distracted response to the gospel. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Here's one who hears the word carelessly, and is distracted by the affairs or the things of this life. Other things are pulling him. And the Word of God falls on ground that is not good. But then a person can hear the Word of God fruitfully. Verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. This describes what is the desired response of the gospel or to the gospel. Various ways that people hear the gospel. It's not our job, though, to discern what the ground is. Our job is just to give the seed and let the Lord and the Word of God accomplish its purpose in people's life. That's ways that people hear the gospel. I want you to consider with me as we close here tonight the steps associated with hearing God's Word. There is a progression involved with someone hearing the gospel unto salvation. I want you to note with me a couple of verses. 2 Timothy 1:12, cross-referenced with Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Hebrews says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I'm talking about the process or the steps of hearing or the steps of understanding the Word of God. What is that? There's a process that is involved in somebody's life to bring them to an understanding of the Word of God. What is that? Well, that understanding begins with, first of all, receiving and knowing what the facts are. What are the facts? What do they need to understand? They need to understand that Jesus died and that He rose again, that Jesus Christ is God who came to this earth to die for their sin. Then they need to believe and accept that these facts are true and correct, that Jesus died and He rose again to save their soul. They need to understand this. It's not just words that are being said, but it's a comprehension. That leads to being convinced that these facts will work for me too. That Jesus Christ will save me if I act upon these facts and believe in Him. Then acting upon those facts without reservation, meaning I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, based on an understanding of the gospel. Listen, what I'm saying is that hearing the Word of God, hearing the gospel, must progress to faith. What is faith? Well, it's believing the gospel and it's obeying the gospel. Otherwise, it's of no avail. And that process in a person's life often takes time and it takes patience. We can't be the Holy Spirit in somebody's life. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." See that? The word preached did not profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Hearing the gospel must progress to faith. But sometimes that process takes time and it takes patience. And that means that we need to continue to give the Word of God and continue to cultivate and continue to sow in a person's life. What is the role? The task of the Christian, the role of the soul winner, first of all, is just to give the facts, present the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then it's to reinforce the facts through a personal testimony. And we also have the job to clarify or explain through scriptural persuasion. All of that leads to helping a person understand the gospel. That is what hearing the word of God means. It's not just auditory, but it goes beyond that to an understanding in the heart. Faith comes by hearing, understanding the word of God. What's necessary? Well, it's necessary for the unsaved person to have an open mind, to receive the word of God as the absolute and final authority. It's also necessary for them to have a readiness to learn and to be changed. But that is something between them and the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God needs to do that work. A sinner is going to hear the gospel from the mouth of a soul winner, but at some point along the way, they need to understand the gospel or hear the gospel from the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's not our job. We need to continue to give and sow the seed. We can trust the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide us, to embolden us and empower us. Acts chapter 4, verse 31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Acts 14, 13 says, "Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace." The Spirit of God can give us boldness to preach the word, and the Spirit of God empowers the word. What I'm saying is, there's a process here. We have to sow the seed. They need to hear the word of God. It means understanding the word of God, and we trust the Holy Spirit of God to do that work. There's three parts: the soul winner, the unsaved person, and the Holy Spirit of God. All of those have a vital role to play in the process of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you with this as I close. The thing that we need to focus on, the key that we need to focus on, is number one, asking the Lord to give us boldness, give us his power, and then number two, sow the seed. Those are the two things that we need to focus on. And the challenge this week is, the rest of this week for you, is do your job, do your duty. Be a witness for Jesus Christ, sow the seed, but trust the Spirit of God to empower you and to use you in the life of other people. All right? It's our duty. It's our job. It's our responsibility. And there's nothing greater that brings more fulfillment and joy than being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help your people each and every day to be mindful of our purpose here. Father, to start each day with a vision of what can I do and to serve the Lord, and how can I be used of God in somebody's life today. Lord, use me to be a witness for you. Give me an opportunity to speak to someone, to hand out a gospel tract. Father, your word is powerful. You have a purpose in it. I just need to sow the seed and to trust you for the increase. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to start each day with that vision, with that heart. Father, remind us, and I pray that it would just be a part of us, that it would be in us as your people, to always be on the lookout, to always be looking for an opportunity to preach the gospel, to share Jesus Christ, to sow the seed. Lord, may we not be people caught up with life, that we go about our busy days never seeing the souls of men in the balance, never having compassion upon people who are aimlessly wandering, people who are about ready to drop off into eternity. But Lord, I pray that you'd burden us. Give us compassion for the souls of men. And Father, may it motivate us to sow the seed. Pray that you bless the witness of your people. Again, we pray for all of these names that are mentioned, of family, friends, co-workers. These opportunities that the folks have mentioned. Pray for so-and-so. I had a chance to witness to them this week. And Lord, that's an encouragement and a blessing. And I pray, Lord, that you'd increase that and increase our burden. And Father, I pray that we would be able to see the fruit of preaching the Word of God. And Father, just give us a harvest of souls. Father, it's our desire, our longing to see people saved, to see lives converted and changed. And Lord, we pray that you'd accomplish this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.